Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Top of hour number two on this Tuesday edition presented by the Omni. Dave, what is going on in Gator territory as they prepare for a week from Saturday?
Bill, got the big news late last week that transfer Justin Shorter, wide receiver, he'll be eligible to play this year for the Gators. So it gives them one more piece to replace, you know, all the receivers that they lost last year. And guys who made plays in the NFL this past weekend, and Ben Jefferson, Tyree Cleveland, Josh Hammond, Freddie Swain. It's good because Mullen, a couple weeks ago, spoke on Kadarius Toney, you know, one of the other wide receivers there, and how he's becoming more of a complete wide receiver, and that needs to happen. Of course, you know, he can't just be the gadget guy out there. He needs to be able to be relied on to, you know, to catch a pass when they really need it. And now Justin Shorter gets eligible, and now it gives you some weapons there with Trevon Grimes, Jacob Copeland, Kadarius Toney, and now Justin Shorter, and good reviews from the true freshmen, Xavier Henderson, and Jaquavion Frazier as deep threats. And I said this on the podcast last week, and this was even before Shorter getting eligible. I think this group of wide receivers, they're not going to be as good as last year, but I think there might be some more explosiveness to this group. So I think they can hit probably more downfield passes if the offensive line gives Kyle Trask more time, and I think the downfield passing can improve with this group. My question is, when it's 3rd and 7 and 3rd and 6 and in the fourth quarter and you're driving to either extend the lead to put a game away or you needed to go score, who's going to be that guy that can catch that 3rd and 7 pass that you could rely on so much last year? You still got Kyle Pitts coming back at tight end, and that's going to make everything easier for this wide receiver group. But who's going to be that guy that can go catch that important clutch catch with water really needs it? So while the explosiveness I think is there, I still think there, more of the realistic opportunities still. They'll have to go prove themselves in that regard.
In basketball terms, who can get the bucket when we need it?
There you go, Bill. So and you were able to. And Mullen spoke on this too. We talked to him yesterday and how Billy Gonzalez is so instrumental, Bill. And when Mullen was first hired, not much was thought of that Florida Gator receiver group. They were recruited well, but Tyree Cleveland, Josh Hammond, Freddie Swain, they were all 4-star receivers, but hadn't necessarily lived up to it. And maybe not so much fault of their own. The whole team kind of fell on their face into Jim McElwain. But from Dan Mullen's first season, that group was thought to be a weakness, and then to his second season was what they kind of built the offense around, was that receiver corps. So, Billy Gonzalez does a really good job. And really, Ben Jefferson was a transfer, and everything how everything kind of turned around for him and going to Florida and becoming their top targeted receiver. Now you got Justin Shorter, another transfer, and Florida's had great success with all the transfers pretty much that they've bought in since Dan Mullen has been here on both sides of the ball. So now Justin Shorter, Lorenzo Lingard, 2 more transfers. You just kind of hope that that trend continues of transfers coming in and this Florida coaching staff gets the best out of them.
Gator Dave with us. We'll let you know how you can get his podcast and everything he has for you out there. Very popular podcast called Gator's Breakdown. When you look at Florida and you look at Georgia, differentiate the two teams. What's the difference in those two teams right now?
But I think the starting 22 for both teams, especially with what Georgia lost last year and everything, I think you take the starting 22 And that's, you know, that's what I think everybody's looking at. While when they say Florida's closing the gap, or Florida has a chance to win the East this year, I think it's because of that. You got your quarterback coming back. Georgia does not. You got a lot of the offensive pieces. You know, the offensive line, albeit a lot of questions there still. Most of those pieces are coming back while Georgia replaces the line. Now, you know, the biggest question, Bill, is what can Dan Mullen do? I mean, for all the success and all the accolades he gets on offense and being able to build an offense, what can he do against Kirby Smart? You know, it's been 3 years in a row, his last year at Mississippi State, these first 2 years at Florida, to where these offenses have struggled versus Kirby Smart. And that's the question. Is can, when they get to Jacksonville, you know you have the pieces. But, you know, and – a lot of people want to, you know, praise Dan Mullen, and rightfully so, of, you know, getting the most out of his teams and being able to you know, call great ball plays on game day. But, you know, he was out coached last year in Jacksonville, Bill. There's no two ways around it. And, you know, people want to compare the coaching acumen of Kirby Smart and Dan Mullen. Well, last year he got out coached there. So I think, you know, for one, you just got to go win the game. It's time. You can't lose four straight to Kirby Smart, three straight to Florida when you come over. And so you've got to put something together. You got to put a package together to go score points in that defense. And don't get me wrong, maybe you don't need as many because of that Georgia offense. You know, last year you still had a chance to win the game deep into the game. Maybe you could pull something else. So, you know, Florida stays healthy. Keep those starting 22 going into that Georgia game, because, you know, depth does become a concern. And, you know, for Georgia, it's a little bit of, you know, all the quarterback news. They don't really have many talent concerns, but there's depth concerns there too. So I think if both teams and their starting 22s go to that game in Jacksonville, you know, then it's a knockdown drag out. But if the injuries start happening, I think it's who can better replace what you're losing injury wise, and right now you probably have to give that advantage to Georgia just because of the way they recruited.
Yeah, you hear rumors out of Georgia's camp. We'll have Griff on a little bit later to talk about it, but now the latest is that Carson Beck's looking good. Have you seen this? Now, I'm not doubting that he's a good prospect. I'm not suggesting otherwise, but some, and I don't know if that's just Twitter doing its thing, but it's, yeah, he's looking good. He may get the quarterback job.
Yeah, I saw that report as well, Bill, and yeah, it fell in line a little bit. I had Carson Beck's quarterback trainer, Denny Thompson, on Gators Breakdown last week because of
right.
You know, I just wanted to get some stuff about Anthony Richardson and the Georgia quarterback situation as well, and also kind of to extend that conversation, Jeff Sims, the Georgia Tech quarterback, was also trained by Denny Thompson and got a big win at Florida State this past week. So Denny's got three quarterbacks that he's looking at a lot this coming up year. But, yeah, he said on the podcast last week, you know, he doesn't expect Carson to be the starter, but he was, you know, I'm sure he talked to Carson and all that, and, you know, he said he wouldn't it wouldn't shock him if Beck could, you know, maybe work his way into the conversation, but not necessarily start. And, you know, I think that's the way kind of everybody sees it. Bill, right now you're going to get a lot of good at the fall camp, no matter who the team is.
Right.
And, you know, with JT Daniels and his injury situation still not being cleared, I mean, that's really only got to be a matter of time. He's played in every scrimmage and taking part in all the practices. It's just got to be a matter of time. But the hot name, you know, going into last weekend was DeJuan Mathis, and the hot name coming out of it was Carson Beck. So I find it hard to believe, you know, that Georgia's going to find their way with no matter who the quarterback or what. This is the fourth name now after Newman that you hear in rave reviews about. And I kind of have some doubts there that all four quarterbacks that can go out there and, you know, get all the accolades of being a starting quarterback and give Georgia the chance of, you know, winning the East and going to fight for a college football playoff spot.
Tell everybody how they can get Gators Breakdown, the podcast.
Everybody can get Gators Breakdown at newsforjax.com/GatorsBreakdown or your favorite podcast platform. Recording an episode tonight, kind of doing a Q&A session, do some tweet out there yesterday and got some really good questions from Gators faithful there, and we'll dive even more into what Justin Shorter and his eligibility being able to play this year, what that means for the Gators.
Quick note here. Some teams, Dave, that we watch, game one, they're a little rusty. Now, that could be any season, but this year's been abnormal and odd, as we know. With Kyle Trask back, should that be avoidable for Florida? Should there be any rust early on in game one?
I would like to say no, Bill, but you know, Brock Purdy was right up there in a lot of conversations with Kyle Trask, you know, the Iowa State quarterback.
Yep.
And you watch that game, and you know he struggled with accuracy all throughout the game. So why I'd like to say, the experience coming back, you know, it's just this was an off season like any other, Bill. And but I mean, look, I saw all the training videos and all that stuff, but that's still different than. And you get 22 on the field, and you get a pass rush coming in your face, and all that. Florida only scrimmaged twice this past fall camp. So you know, we'll see what it means. But yeah, just because he's got the experience and coming back, you know, after watching Brock Purdy and all the experience he brought back with him as well, it's just hard to say what's going to happen out there.
Dave, we'll see you next week, sir.
Thanks, Bill.
There you go. Gator Dave joins us Tuesdays. We talk Gators, we talk SEC, we talk college football. He's very good. Works in TV there in Jacksonville, but has the podcast, and is very well known for what he does. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Buckle will be with us. Charles Arbuckle, he's over in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. Played at UCLA, played in the NFL, and loves him some college football. We'll kick it around with him in about 15. Coming right back, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. It's still a parking lot here on 24 eastbound, trying to get up past Bell Road. And once you get past Hickory Hollow Parkway in that construction zone, it picks back up to a decent interstate speed as you continue out towards Rutherford County on 24 going east. 5600 block of Franklin Pike, there's been a crash there. 65 northbound ramp at OHB in Brentwood. We saw that wreck a few minutes ago. Check out the new Andre Chicken Sandwich now available at Princess Hot Chicken. Check them out online, princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
Want to talk to you about the folks at Doobie Orthopedics, and I know that you're going to sit there and go, Plaz, what do you know about that? And the truth of it is, not much until about a year ago, right about now. I ended up with some really bad shoulder and neck problems, and I had no idea where to turn. A friend of mine suggested Doobie Orthopedics, and you know what? That friend was dead on right. I find out now they've got over 30,000 customers. There's a reason for that. They are really good at what they do. I ended up choosing the Hermitage location, but they have locations all over town. Frist Boulevard was where I was, with a phone number of 391-4545. I got the individual one-on-one attention that I needed. They set up a plan, and you know what? The plan worked to perfection. I highly recommend Doobie Orthopedics.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the space repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Brad Keselowski took home the win from Richmond. Up next, more short track action from Bristol Motor Speedway, the final race in this round of the playoffs. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, I'm Brad Keselowski, and I get my NASCAR news on the Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at Facebook.com/TheFinalLap. We'd appreciate it. Every single weekday right here.
We have more Jeffs than you do. It's the Bill King Show.
Ah!
I'll say this. I am elated that the SEC has been on target to play the entire time. I'm good with that. Now, there have been moments where, obviously, things are a little shaky. We've experienced that, too. Understandably. But now that we've had a couple of weeks of college football, last Saturday was the first big Saturday of games early into the night, right? Early morning or midday, like noon or 11 o'clock. We're on Central Time, so the game started at 11 our time.
It was the first standard scheduled day.
Yeah. But now when I think about the SEC being a week and a half out, I'm like, I can't wait. I normally don't feel that way. But that's when you know everything is clicking correctly.
Are you counting down?
I'm not breaking.
Am I catching you slipping?
No. Because as you can tell, I don't know what the days are. I just said something like a week and a half.
You're not the only one, Bill.
But, yeah, I just look at it, I'm thinking, dang, we gotta get there. Now, if you are the Big Ten right now, and you have the uncertainty that's prevalent out there, then I understand the way you're feeling, too. If you're a Big Ten fan, you're beyond frustrated. And I would feel the exact... Well, I feel the exact same way. I'm frustrated for you. Because I want to see Big Ten football. I want to see these teams play. I want to see who emerges outside of Ohio State. We already know what we're getting in the Buckeyes. Buckeyes, other than Clemson, might be the most gifted roster this year in college football. Yeah, those two, I would have pretty much locked together. Then you could debate maybe Alabama next, and Alabama certainly is a national championship contender. Again, I'm not saying they're not. But I want to see them out there. And just to move on to that topic, there is nothing new going on. Now, they're continuing to talk, continuing to discuss. There are rumors about votes. You know what I'm going to remember the most about this whole fiasco is how many times we've been told there's a vote when there's no proof there's ever been a vote. I have people tell me, Bill, yeah, there was a vote. It was 11-3. There is no proof that there was a vote. Just because somebody says there was a vote, there's your proof? There is zero proof that there was a formal vote, procedure-wise, in the Big Ten. None. By the way, if you're not following Tom Mars on Twitter, you're missing out on this. He's the lawyer. He's the one that's always involved with transfers and everything else. He is all over this. Yeah, I'd follow him. He is excellent. Walter. Walter's a big Nebraska fan. Bill, the daily Big Ten ridiculousness is driving me crazy. I don't blame you. I'm pretty good at reading the current state of affairs. Remember in 2010, we had the expansion scare. We led America in that. We set the tone every day when it came to that topic, letting you know what's going on. Is Texas and Oklahoma, along with probably Oklahoma State and A&M, really going to go out and join the Pac-10 at the time? There were days where it felt like they were. This thing went back and forth, and it was legit. It wasn't bad rumors. It was legit in the moment. Oh my God, what's about to happen? Well, that's where we've been a bit in this situation. Now, again, we're talking about a pandemic, so I'm not necessarily comparing, but just the day-to-day news fluctuation feels similar. At the moment, the Big Ten feel, I would say, is more optimistic than pessimistic. Doesn't mean it's going to turn out perfectly here. But I think the feel, the current situation, is slightly optimistic as opposed to perhaps what it was, let's say, a week ago and prior. what that leads to, I'm cautious with that now, y'all. I'm very cautious with this because I understand news can change in a millisecond in this environment we're in right now. It can. Stephen down in Louisiana, Bill, vote, no vote, revote, another vote. I think it's all to keep the Big Ten talked about since college football has started. I don't know what they're doing in that capacity. Don't really know. Gary Joe Collins up in Tim Couch territory. Bill, did the B1G vote yesterday or Sunday? Or are they still hiding under the bed, afraid the Corona Bowl starting five will get mad at them? Buckeyes are historically loaded this year, and if they don't get to play because of this, it'll be a crock of crap, Bill. I agree. Yeah, that would be shameful. If you are a Buckeye, and even by Buckeye standards, we all know, natties are hard to come by. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you've got a bunch like Alabama does. They're hard to come by. Most teams don't get any. Ask Georgia how hard it is to get a natty. 1980. We're going on 40 years for them. I was at the Georgia opener that year at Tennessee. I saw every game Georgia played in some capacity, TV or otherwise, and saw how many near-death experiences they had in 1980 to be the last team standing. It's hard. Georgia's had several teams since 80 that could have won a natty. Didn't. I mean, that's so close, as we know. We don't have to chronicle it again here. It's hard to do. And this is Georgia, which is going to go out and get the best talent or among the best when it comes to recruiting every single year. That's the situation they're in at Georgia, right? It's hard to come by. So if you're the Buckeyes and you are not given the opportunity based mainly on politics, that's sad. But that's that's where we're at right now. It's sad, but it's true. Aliquippa Bob, Bill, the only vote the Big Ten is taking will be done on about November 3rd. Well, look, those of you who are pessimistic, I don't blame you. I don't. I'm somewhat very cautiously optimistic right now about the Big Ten. That's where I'm at. I'm hopeful. I'm slightly optimistic. And I understand later today, or maybe during the show, we could get some news. One of the chancellors says, well, don't think it's going to happen. It's too dangerous out there. Have you walked outside lately? It is dangerous. We cannot play. Some clown could say that. That could easily happen. Josh in London, Bill, my weed guy, likes the Buckeyes not playing because I'm buying more of the devil's lettuce from him. Is that true? Is so the market's going up? I wouldn't know. It's not my world. I'll just have to take your word for it there, Josh. I have never been one to know much about that world. But Josh keeps us updated for sure. Yeah, the conversation earlier about the, what was it, the president, the chancellor of Wisconsin saying, look, it's all or nothing here. We're not going to have a vote and then maybe a couple teams opt out, but then other teams play. I'm not sure if I believe that. Yeah, I'm not sure I go along with that. This all or nothing thing. Remember now, back in the spring when we were all looking down the road to college football, there was a line of thinking. There were two lines of thinking. Number one, you can't just have some leagues playing and other leagues not. That's not the way this is going to work. We're all in this together. And I remember thinking, what? So some region's going to cancel, and that means the SEC can't play. Some region somewhere else. And that means you can't play because we're all in this together. We were told that, A. B, we were told you can't have no classes on campus, in-person classes, but the football team's there, and they're going to play games. You can't do that either. What? Says who? Well, it's a bad look. You're bringing them back to play, and you don't even have people in class. And it just looks like you're just football-centric. Okay. And? So these rules that we're told that are in place, I'm not sure I trust them because they weren't true in the beginning. And now you have the Wisconsin president saying, well, team opts out. Nobody's going to play. Well, that'd be sad if that's true. So if you're Ohio State and Northwestern and Maryland don't want to play, you don't play? You know what my reply to that would be? The hell I'm not. The hell I'm not playing. You do you, we'll do us. How about that as a rule of thumb? So I don't quite get that. Charles Arbuckle coming up. We've got him. Griff a little bit later down in Georgia. Mike Griff, fifth, from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Dog Nation. About 20 minutes into hour number three, he'll be with us. Presented by, as we take the break, the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic still limping along big time as they still work out here on 24 eastbound at Hickory Hollow Parkway. It's been crazy slow for the last couple of hours. Leaving Nashville, headed out to Murfreesboro on 24 and going eastbound. Again, that's a pretty good delay. Don't say we didn't warn you. 5600 block of Franklin Road. That's a crash in front of that Shell station. Ripley's Aquarium Family Edition Sleep with the Sharks is back September 19th. Check it out. Ripley Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 of pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-204-0145 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-204-0145 to take your call now. Call 800-204-0145. That's 800-201-0145. Again, 800-204-0145.
More time at home means more time to grill, and nothing tastes better off the grill than perfectly aged and tender Omaha steaks. Get the world's best steaks and a huge variety of other favorites shipped directly to your door. Go to omahasteaks.com, enter the code DELISH in the search bar, and for this week, Omaha Steaks will add 4 burgers and 4 gourmet jumbo franks free when you order the Grill Out's favorite package. Going to the grocery store has become such a hassle. Skip the crowds and order Omaha Steaks today. omahasteaks.com, keyword DELISH.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wines, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 4685 Trousdale Drive in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquors615. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Mostly sunny with a chance of thunderstorms, high 86. Chance of showers tonight, low 67. Chance of showers tomorrow, high 82. Showers continue tomorrow night, low 67. Thursday, showers likely, high 82. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network or Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
The best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. The Bill King Show.
Charles Arbuckle joins us every Tuesday. Buck and I typically talk college, and we'll do that here today, too. But I want to ask you, Buck, I was interested in the New England game because of Cam Newton. So I saw a lot of that Dolphins game, and he had 15 carries in it for 75 yards. Can they continue with that game plan in that league, getting him hit like that?
Well, Bill, I'm going to relook at the tape to see, because one of the things that concerns me is not how many times he runs, because there's going to be some design runs, right?
Right.
But it's how many opportunities does he have to play above the neck up, meaning throw it five so that guy can pick up 10, or throw it 10 and that guy can pick up 15 instead of you having to take the load. I don't know if it was because he was so juiced up, and I saw the game and I saw bits of it, but I really want to go see if he had opportunities and start counting this year with Cam. Okay, there were five opportunities for him to get short throw, long run possibility, or just getting it out of his hands and distributing the ball as opposed to trying to take the ball, which in the past has gotten him in trouble. So, yeah, I don't know if – I think if he's healthy, 10 times I thought would be a good number, 12 at the most. But if you start getting in that 15-20 range, you worry, because he's been hurt a lot. He hadn't been the same Cam Newton over the last few years, and you can't keep getting those shots no matter how good. 6'6", 250 or not, man. Some dudes in the league can run, and they can run just as – and they're younger than you, and their bodies bounce back a whole lot quicker.
Boy, he had the attitude back during that game. And here's the other thing, Buck. I was watching post-game. He was out there. It looked like he was wanting to fight. Did you see that? I mean, he was fired up.
Yeah. So here, I love Cam's enthusiasm.
Right.
I love my plays. I just think that hopefully that's the first game. I haven't played, because he hadn't played in a while. You think about it. I hope that's what that is. If it's not, I agree with you. If you're running 15, 20 times and you're trying, because the more you chirp with those guys over there, you put yourself in position to get, because I'll say this, a quick story. I can remember playing, I can't remember who we were playing. It was Denver. It was Denver one year, and I knew Steve Atwater, and they had Steve Smith. So Steve and I, Atwater, we would work out in the summers because he went to Arkansas. I ended up going to UCLA. He had some family in Missouri City, so we got to know each other. But there was a time he came up and hit me, and then he helped me up. He said, "Bruh, you knew I could have blown you up, but I like you. You're my boy." And I always remember that, because I got him in college a couple of times blocking, but it was never malicious. But
right.
There were some guys that if you got into it with them, it was going to just be one of those things all game, and you had to stay on guard. And I always say that to say, hey, you can celebrate, you can do that. But I can remember Cam when he started getting hit, violently hit, because guys start saying, okay, look, you're going to do all that? I'm going to show you the 6'6", 250 and what all that means. And if I get you right, I'm going to get you. And nonetheless, he can bring it as well. But I'm just saying, at the quarterback position, you are exposed every time. You pick your battles wisely as you get older, is all I ever say.
College football Saturday, Buck. Was there anything that stood out to you?
Man, I got to give the Raging Cajuns a lot of love, man. When they were USL, I had a couple of boys from Willow Ridge, Quint McCollum and John LeBlanc, that ended up going there and playing with Brian Mitchell. They lost their offensive line coach, DJ Looney. That offensive line is impressive. I knew they were good on defense. I didn't realize how good they were going to be on the offensive line in their running game, Bill. And then when I saw Billy Napier talking about the story, you could tell this team is destined. I think there were some articles I read even before that game saying, hey, let's kind of keep it on the down low how good we're going to be. And when I called my buddy, he was like, man, we knew we were going to beat Iowa State. He said, that wasn't even a question in my mind. He said, because these guys are really playing with the purpose, and their heart is heavy, but it's full because of, just all those things. And I was really impressed with how the Raging Cajuns look. I don't know if we give them enough credit, but I'm going to keep an eye on them. I'm going to get to know their players intimately, and I think we should be talking about that team. It can be a great story because of all the tragedy that they've had to endure before the season started.
What about Florida State? Your thoughts there?
Man, I hope Mike Norvell doesn't lose that team. I mean, it was already on the brink. And if you can't play and you talk about this offense you're going to have, I got to see it. And it seemed like we saw the same Florida State we saw from the last few years. Okay, my question for you, And I've asked Pat Carter this, and we can't figure it out. Why can't Florida State get an offensive line? I mean, consistency on the offensive line. Why? What is that, Bill? I don't get it. I mean, that's a Florida State team that in the past, big offensive linemen can score, can run over you, block, protect the passer.
Yeah.
I just can't figure that out. And I can't figure out why you can't score points when you have explosive players on the outside consistently and you can't get it done. That to me is – was it the rain delay? I don't know. Whatever it is, they better get it fixed because they had a lot of problems and it was scuttlebutt going into the season. And if they don't play well and really get going – and this is the Georgia Tech team that there was a lot of question, were they even going to be competitive? I got to give Georgia Tech a lot of credit for how they played, but I'm a little concerned about Florida State. I mean, I know it's the first week of the season, but you got to be a little bit concerned with how that looked for them at home.
Well, Georgia Tech did it with a kid right out of high school, Jeff Sims. How about that?
Hey, you know, that's we're going to see a lot of that this year.
Yeah.
Because I think they're this year we didn't have, you know, we're going to have a lot of young players playing. They're going to be, you know, if there's a COVID situation that runs through your team, you may have position groups that are not able to play, so a young guy will get a chance. I would say this year more than ever, if you're a young player, you better be ready. Be ready to step in because there's a great opportunity that you'll get right away to start playing and make a difference in your season.
You care to tell us what you think's going on in the Big Ten right now?
Hey, it's crazy to me because I was just reading this morning about, you know, the Pac-12, and they're saying, well, maybe mid-November. And I'm like, yeah. You guys are already obsolete. What are you doing? I get it. California and Oregon, that's a whole other situation. So that would take a book for us to write in order to get through all the different factors that they have in that conference. But the Big Ten, I think since they pushed it off, if I'm going to make a calculated guess, that means they really want to try to come back and play and get involved and become one of the Power Four conferences that they were before they decided not to – or before they decided, in my opinion, Bill, to step away too soon. I thought, give yourself an opportunity with everyone else to see how it plays out before you make that decision. So I would say since they're delaying it, there's a good chance that we could get them back in some form or fashion. What that looks like, I have no idea.
I agree with you. I'm trying to be careful on the air because I understand that the Big Ten could easily fool us here, but it feels somewhat positive in the moment, Buck, concerning it seems like they are making a concerted effort to get something done.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, and this is what I want people to be aware of, and I think, you know, everybody has to be cognizant of this. Yeah, if they made the wrong decision in the first place, well, then don't crucify them if they come back and they say, hey, look, we got some new data. The data that we had wasn't what we thought it should be. We're going to figure out a way to get the season going. I'm okay with that. I mean, that's what it should be about, right? It should not be that we made this decision and we're not going to back down. We're not going to back down no matter what anybody tells us. I'd have a problem with that, especially if you see these things happening. Now, with the season, we're already seeing it. There's some games being postponed, right? We already anticipated that, right? You build into your schedule three or four byes, so that way if something has to move, if you're Tulsa and Oklahoma State, you play a week later. You figure those things out, and you have enough players on your team where you're really working through that. The other thing I think that's going to help is as more schools get back in session and the ones that have come in later, you're starting to see a rise in the student population. So what do? They go to online learning, which most of the athletic departments have already put in place in the summer. They've already started saying, look, we're going to take as many online classes as we can to keep you guys isolated, keep you in out of harm's way. Now, if you choose to go in and do some bonehead things or do things that 20-year-olds do, you're going to go off the reservation and we can't have you playing. So I think we're going to see a lot of that throughout the year, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Like I said, I'm really happy football is taking place. I'm just fascinated with how they're going to do it and then the stories you're going to read on the other side when it comes out. How did they actually get guys healthy? How did they keep guys from, you know, not doing the things that they didn't want to do. And I think that's going to be the part that we look back on this season and we'll say, hey, as much stuff as we thought was going to happen, hopefully it won't happen, and we'll be able to talk about it in a way that we got through the college football season. We may have another power conference playing, so that gives us four instead of three. And who knows? The asterisk won't be as big on the national champion, right?
Charles Arbuckle with us. Buck, I'll leave you with this. Could the rest of the ACC put together an all-star team and beat Clemson?
Oh, man. Well, you know, considering how down Florida State has been lately, right?
Yeah.
Syracuse did not look good. I'm a little concerned about Miami, Wake, Notre Dame, UNC. Maybe if it's heavily if it's heavy with UNC, Notre Dame, I think, Duke, you know, I'll say this. I'm not surprised that Duke have played as well as they did up in Notre Dame. I think they're going to be a good football team. I don't know how many wins they'll have. But, yeah, you'll have to comprise it of a lot of teams. Virginia Tech. You need all of those guys. You'll just be calling everybody, okay, who do we have? The best players on each one. And then maybe you can compete. That Clemson ball club looked good the other night. And if they protect Trevor Lawrence like they did, it'll be hard even for an all-star team to compete against them or beat them.
Buck, we'll see you next Tuesday.
All right, man. Take care now.
There you go. Charles Arbuckle joins us each and every time right here in this slot on Tuesdays. A little later, Hour 3, Griff will be with us. That is Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Dog Nation, as we'll talk some Georgia and some college football with him. Remember, Griff's from Michigan. He knows all about the Big Ten. We'll kick it around a little bit later in Hour number 3. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. It's actually moving a little bit better now on 24 eastbound as you approach the construction zone there at Hickory Hollow Parkway, Bell Road. It's going to take it a little bit to be completely back to normal, but it's moving much better now on 24 eastbound again as you leave Nashville, headed out towards Murfreesboro. Starting to build now 65 south at Trinity Lane. Ripley's Aquarium Family Edition Sleep with the Sharks is back September 19. Check it out, Ripley Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
It is an uncertain time for us all, but kids in foster care have always known an uncertain future. Now, more than ever, we see what it means to truly connect with others in a way we didn't fully appreciate through the simple little things we do. It's those little things that also make a big difference to a kid in foster care, to help them become all they were meant to be. During a time when taking care of each other is by far most important, Youth Villages Foster Care asks that you consider opening your home to these young people who are without one. To keep us all safe and healthy during this time, Youth Villages is offering virtual presentations with information to address your thoughts and questions about fostering a child. Learn how you can become a foster parent at youthvillages.org/foster. Youth Villages, foster a little hope. Brought to you by Youth Villages in cooperation with this station and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, Bill King here. You want to get your business on my show? Let me explain something. Our advertisers are not just local. We have such a huge streaming audience that our advertisers are everywhere. So if you want to grow your business, you want us to help you do that, email PhyllisKing7, that's number 7, PhyllisKing7@gmail.com. We'll get right back to you. We'll get your business on the radio, and we'll help you grow your business. Contact us if you want your brand to grow on my show, PhyllisKing7@gmail.com.
Hashtag Fat Side Up. Tweet to Bill at Bill is King to enter the arena of ideas.
Yeah, it's good, man. We got football. How many articles did we have to read? How many people did we have to listen to that said, you know what? You're not playing. Come on. Let's just be honest with everybody. You're not playing football. You can't go play football in this environment. I mean, my gosh, what are you trying to do? Just kill everybody? Is that what you want to do? We had to hear that. Had to hear a lot of that, didn't we not? Thank gosh that I don't listen well to all of this. Because I'm not a good listener when it's something I disagree with. I'm just not. Maybe that's a fault. But you absolutely can play football during this. And we are. Here's what I never understood. This summer, when we were told you can't play this, you can't play that, we had AAU basketball teams all over America playing, all over the place. In gyms, teams coming to cities, you had travel baseball tournaments all over the place. I didn't hear one story, and I'm sure somebody got COVID in these groups somewhere, sometime. But I didn't hear any horrific stories of any of that. People going about their business playing Little League ball and AAU basketball like it was any old summer. And trust me, if there would have been some horror stories, don't you think the media would have been all over that to sell you the fear porn? Sure they would have. They would have been all over it. Oh, my God, did you see what happened in Omaha over the weekend? These people went in there and played basketball. What a disaster. That's what they would have done. Now, again, I'm not saying there's not a reason to be smart about this and concerned, but that you cannot play sports is the height of ridiculousness. It's them trying to take things away from you and I that we enjoy. That's what this is about. There's a bigger picture here. You absolutely can play. They are playing. NFL's playing. Various college leagues are playing. We're playing high school ball in lots of places now. And it's a wonderful thing. Yeah, I tell you what. Going to a high school game this year, the first game of the year, that was about, almost a month ago, feels like, was maybe, I got to tell you now, of all the places I have been to games, that might have been my most enjoyable experience ever. Just an innocent Friday night high school football game. Just playing for the pure love of the game. No other motive. No other motive. No, not that maybe a scout will see me. Maybe this will end up me playing on Sundays. Might happen to some of these guys. Maybe it won't. But it was for the pure innocence and love of the game. Cheerleaders there. Band is out there too. Crowd is happy. Makeshift concession stands. It was wonderful. It was. It might have been, again, of all the events I've been to, when it comes to football or basketball, I don't know that I've ever been more happy in the moment than just being at a random high school game a month ago when we were told so many times you can't play. Gary Joe Collins says, Bill, you're not wrong. To the end that Peabody's favorite Corona bro, who lives in Frankfort, Kentucky, was in Florida over the summer while telling us to stay home. Hashtag, come on, man. You understand, and good point by Gary Joe Collins here. You understand that in politics, it's always about thee, not me, right? All these politicians in these various states shutting everything down. Except they didn't shut down a damn thing when it came to their lives. It's shut down for thee, not for me. You understand that's the way this works, right? I hope you understand that. Yeah. You folks lose your business, can't go to work, totally ruined, but we'll be down on the beach somewhere hanging out. That's the way it works. Never trust those politicians. I don't. Yeah, Gary Joe Collins, good point there. But, hey, we got a call yesterday from our good friend Bob up in Madisonville. He's a ref. He's been doing it 30-something years. And Friday night, they had ball up in Kentucky. They started the football games up in Kentucky. He reffed one of the games. What did he say? There were 9 unsportsmanlike penalties in the game. First Friday night back in his game, 9 unsportsmanlike calls and 3 ejections. I haven't seen anything like that. At the games that I've been to, high school games, everybody is so elated to be playing. I haven't seen anything. I guess he just caught one of those nights. That might happen. Now, again, there's football's an emotional sport. So, yeah, I'm not saying it's been without emotion. Football is ultimately the best emotional sport. But I haven't seen anybody angry to the point over a call where it led to ejections and everything else. So Bob had a hell of a Friday night up there in Kentucky. Wow. Johnny Vegas, down on the Emerald Coast. And by the way, I'm getting a lot of tweets, pictures from the Emerald Coast. The weather down there is angry right now. Water's choppy and palm trees are swaying in the wind. Johnny Vegas, Bill, none of those politicians missed a paycheck, did they? No. No. No, Kev, up in Chicago. Bill, you're right. My son has played baseball since July 1st, and at no point did we get an email from the league saying there's a case in the league. I haven't heard from anybody. Now, I'm sure somebody can create an exception for us, but of all my friends that have kids that play Little League ball or AAU basketball, see, my kids are either old and they don't do it anymore, older, or my 3 high schoolers don't like baseball. So they didn't play like my older ones did. They didn't enjoy it. And I'm not begging them to play, trust me. And my daughter played AAU ball all the way up. Now is in college playing. So I don't have anybody left in AAU ball either. But everybody I've talked to that had AU travel teams, and you go into all these cities every weekend, and baseball travel teams, I haven't heard one story, one item, where there was a problem. Now, again, I'm sure there was somewhere. I just maybe not hearing about it, but no issues at all. Matter of fact, the topic doesn't even come up. So we can do that, but a rich, historic Big Ten can't play. Do I have that right? Is that what we're being told? Now, I think things are turning somewhat positive for the Big Ten. I sure hope so. Griff's going to be with us about 20 minutes in. Hour number 3. Mike Griffith from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Dog Nation. We'll talk Georgia with him, SEC with him, college football with him, Big Ten with him. We'll get into all those topics. Griff grew up in Big Ten countries from Michigan. He went to Michigan State. He's been down south now for many years covering various teams like Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, now Georgia. But Griff has a very good feel for the Big Ten, too, so we will. We'll get up in that area, too, to kick it around a little bit. Hour 3 coming up. Omni.